If we ever needed to remind them that the devil is alive and well, just watch the evening news. If you ever wanted to wonder whether the devil is active and really well, just notice what's going on around us. We are involved in spiritual warfare. And the devil loves what's going on in our world today. He loves it when we fret. He loves it when we become scared. He loves it when the church gets discombobulated. Is that a word? And we have to come up with new ways to connect with one another. If there's any wondering about what's going on in our world, and if the devil is alive and well, just kind of open up your eyes and you'll see that's what's going on right now. The devil is alive and well. And my question as we begin our study time together this morning is, how do you make it during the storms of life? I hope that you paid attention to Larry's last song, because that's the sermon today. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 14. We'll spend our entire time on that one page of the text. So we'll all be together at the same place. So get your iPads, get your iPhones. Go back and use what we ought to be using, that is the Bible. Turn your pages to that particular text. Because even during Jesus' storms, he needed to have some quiet time. And you and I need to have that as well. The devil is alive and well. We need some lone mountaintop time. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus needed some quiet time. Would you read it in your Bible, beginning verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 14? Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. When I thought about this, making this point this morning, I began to realize we've been kind of alone for the last several weeks, haven't we? But when we are involved in the storms of life, we do need to have some quiet time. We need to have some alone time in prayer to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus needed it right here. And I want you to notice why. Look at your Bibles back up in chapter 13, the last verse in chapter 13 of Matthew. And you'll see that Jesus spent some time with some folks who didn't have very, very much faith. He taught, but he didn't heal very many. The last verse says he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. It was frustrating to Jesus to spend time with folks who wouldn't respond to his message and who didn't show very, very much faith. He needed some alone time. Notice the second point, which is the opening verses of chapter 14. If you glance verse number 1 down through verse number 12, you get the reading about his cousin, his friend, John the Baptizer, dying. And if you notice in verse number 12, John's disciples came and told Jesus about the death of John. And then there was a third thing. If you look in verse number 13 through verse number 21 or so, and you see where Jesus fed the 5,000. Look at these three things on the screen, or look at the text in your Bibles, either one. These things drain Jesus. Would anybody in the room agree with me that people drain you? Would anybody agree with that? And sometimes you just need to be alone to kind of get back on target. Jesus needed his way. He had spent time with people of little faith. His friend, his cousin, John the Baptizer, has died. He's got some grief going on there. And then he spent time with at least 5,000 men, not counting women and children, maybe as many as 15,000, tugging on him to feed them. And after all of this, Jesus needed some alone time. Go back to the text with me, if you will. And let's read about what this song we just sung together said. And I'm going to relate it to your life and mine as well. Go back with me, if you will. Beginning with me in verse number 24. Now remember the scene. The disciples were out in the boat out of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 3 or 4 miles wide. Not sure how far out they got or how far away they were from Jesus. But Jesus is on the mountain by himself praying. And he's going to join himself to the disciples. And I hope we can learn 2 or 3 valuable lessons tonight or this morning as we watch Jesus and the disciples. Read with me, if you will, in verse number 24 beginning. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. We got a storm going on. Jesus isn't there. The disciples are in the boat, and a storm comes up, which is it happened often in the Sea of Galilee. A storm would arise very, very quickly, and one has arisen here, and the
disciples are in a boat during the storm. Verse number 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch of the night, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So you've got a time frame of when this is going on. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. If there are replays in heaven, I want to see this one. Is anybody with me? I want to see this scene of Jesus walking on the water. Can you imagine a storm is going on and you look up and you see something? I read a story about an Arab a few years ago, being out in the Sahara Desert. And he looked up and he saw something moving. And he said, oh no, it's a mirage. And he kept looking and focusing on the images and kept getting closer. And the fellow watching that said, oh, it's a monster. And he got closer and closer, and he realized then, oh, it's a man. And then as it got closer to him out in the Sahara Desert, he said, oh, it's my brother. It's amazing how you begin noticing things when you're maybe a little nervous or scared. The disciples, they're going to get real nervous and afraid because they're afraid it's a ghost. Go back to the text with me. Let's watch this thing unfold. In verse number 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Church, are you listening to me this morning? During your storms, and you've got some personal storms, you've got some family storms, you've got some work-related storms, we got things going on in our society, in our world, that are storms. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. During your storms, do not be afraid and take courage. 365 times in Scripture, it says don't be afraid. How many days are there in the year, typical year? Oh, about 365. Could it be that the Lord knew that you and I would need reminders often not to be afraid? Would you look at somebody sitting near you and tell them not to be afraid? Would you do it right now? Look at them. Right now. Don't be afraid, Chuck. I want us to be a church that reminds each other every now and then, don't be afraid. Because we've got a lot of things going on in our world to challenge that. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. I want you to take courage. I'm about to show you why. Do not be afraid. Peter begins to notice this particular scene, and it's an opportunity. Now stop right there for a second. You call a timeout. There are some moments in our life when we reach that point of making a decision whether we're going to really get serious or not. There comes times in our life when we've got to make serious decisions because of challenges facing us personally, or maybe our family, or maybe our health. And this is one of those times with the disciples. They're at a moment that they've got to make up their mind where they're going to stand and about their attitudes of faith. Jesus is coming walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost. Look in verse number 27. Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, do not be afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. If there are replays in heaven, I want to watch that scene. Where Peter gets out of the boat and he begins walking on the water. Can anybody in this room identify with the impulsiveness of the Apostle Peter? How many in the room would like to be strong like the Apostle Paul? Would you raise your hands? I want to be strong like the Apostle Paul. But how many of us are more like Peter in our walking with God? Peter did get out of the boat. And before you get down on Peter, he does hold the world's record for the longest distance walked on water by a human being. He did get out there. And may I suggest to you in our study this morning, Jesus wants you and me to walk on the water. He wants us to, in our walk with him, to do some things that can only be explained. This is a God thing. I've been preaching for 53 years as of last June 17th. In 53 years, I've watched elderships, I've watched church leaders through those years at different times, set goals for their church. And I've watched them set goals that they knew they could reach. And it really didn't stretch their faith. What if we set some goals that was just a little bit beyond us, And when we accomplish those goals, the only way you can explain it is, that's a God thing. How about those of us in our families when we set challenges and goals for our personal family? Do we set goals that we know we can reach? Or do we set goals that make us walk on the water? To do something that's just a little bit beyond us. It stretches our faith. It stretches our trust. It stretches our courage. I'd like to recommend for your thinking this morning, Jesus wants you and me to walk on the water. He wants us to do those things that can only be explained. That's a God thing. At World Christian Broadcasting a few years ago, we made a decision. We wanted to teach the Middle East about Jesus. We needed to begin Arabic programming to teach all those in the Middle East about Jesus Christ. Would you agree with me that part of the world needs to know about Jesus? Desperately, that part of the world needs to know about Jesus. How in the world are we going to make it happen? We went to a place called Madagascar. Have you seen the movie? It's a little bit different. It looks a little bit different than the movie. The president of Madagascar gave us 84 acres of land. The president of Madagascar gave us 84 acres of land. How do you explain that? You only got one explanation. It's a God thing. We went to Madagascar and began building. We built an $11 million radio station. Guess what's happening every day right now all over the Middle East? The entire Middle East is hearing the good news about Jesus Christ every day several hours. Is that thrill anybody in the room? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Does it thrill anybody in the room? It should, because that is a God thing. How about daddies and husbands in your family? What goals are you setting for your family? Is it goals that you know you can reach that makes you look good? Or are you setting goals for your family that's just a little bit beyond your reach? That if accomplished, and when they're accomplished, the explanation is it's a God thing. Moms, wives, or your little girls, are you setting goals and challenges for them that they know they can reach? Are you setting some goals out there that the way you can only explain it is, it's a God thing? I want you to take this lesson personally. I believe God wants us walking on the water. He wants us setting goals and challenges that's just a little bit beyond us, that we might be able to grow in our... Here's the time when the disciples are making a decision, and only Peter gets out of the boat. I've got a question for you. Why didn't the other disciples get out of the boat and walk on the water too? I mean, they saw Jesus. They're watching Peter. I'm not sure how far he walked on the water. I'm not sure how long he walked on the water. But my question is, why didn't the other disciples get out of the boat too and walk on the water? I mean, Peter was a kind of influential guy among the group. He's out there. Why didn't the other disciples get out of the boat too and begin to walk on the water? I got another question I want you to answer. Why didn't they just burn their boat because they didn't really need it? They're out there with Jesus. He's walking on the water. Peter's walking on the water. Why didn't they get out there? And why didn't they just burn the boat? They didn't need the boat. There's a challenge for them. During the storm, they'd rather stay in the boat than be out there where Jesus was. In your storms, had you rather be where it's safe? Had you rather be maybe where you're in your boat instead of out on the water with Jesus? Let me ask you a question and you answer out loud for me. You're in a storm. Would you rather be in the boat or be out there in the storm with Jesus? The best place to be is out in the storm with Jesus. That's where Jesus is. Why didn't they burn the boat and walk together arm in arm to the shore? They didn't need the boat anyway because they were walking out there with Jesus. In the next few minutes of our lesson, I'm going to challenge you about some of your boats. How many of us would rather stay in our boats where we think it's safe and protected instead of launching out and walking with Jesus during these storms? Let's go back to the text of Scripture. I want you to notice some things. During the storms of life, had you rather be in the boat or go stand with Jesus? Intellectually, spiritually, I say, let's go stand with Jesus. But that can be a real, real challenge. Because that might mean I've got to put myself out there where I've never been. I've got to maybe focus like I've never focused before on our Lord. Where would you rather be in the storms of life? I'd like to suggest for us to get rid of our boats, and we'll talk about those boats the rest of our time. What boats do you and I depend on? Can I have your eyes right here for a minute? I want you to think about some of the boats that maybe you had in your life that you've been depending on instead of depending on Jesus. I like my own safety nets. I got a retirement plan. I got a little security. I got my first Social Security check 3 weeks ago. Boy, that was nice. Still working. That's an extra check. That felt pretty good. I got a safety net. My own wisdom. I'm pretty smart. I've got my own wisdom. I can figure things out. And if I'll just think of it long enough, I'll get it figured out. Can anybody identify with that as you think about yourself? I've got my own way of looking at things. My wealth. I've got a secure job. I've got a good position down in my work. In the times in which we live, how many folks have a job that's pretty secure? Or are we all kind of vulnerable? If we're depending on some of those things, we may need to be careful because that might be a boat that we're depending on instead of, I'm young. You guys sitting in front of me, I'm young. I've got the rest of my life in front of me. I'll get it figured out. My health. Went to my doctor a couple of weeks ago. I've got some health issues going on. I didn't know I had. Sometimes you can depend upon your youth and your health, and you get thinking, I can make it during the storms. And then you find out you've got this health issue that you can't depend on for sure. I've got my retirement ready. What are your boats that you depend upon, maybe instead of depending upon the Lord? I know I can depend upon my spouse. My spouse has a great walk with God. My spouse has a good prayer life, a good study time. I'll depend upon that. Would anybody in the room agree with me? Sometimes that's not there either. Sometimes the Lord takes them home to meet Jesus sooner than we had planned. Maybe my parents. My parents are pretty strong. They brought me to church all my life. And sometimes they make mistakes. And sometimes they quit. And sometimes their storms bother them. What are the boats in your life and mine we'd rather hang on to than maybe getting out of our boats and trusting Jesus? Why didn't the disciples get out of the boat along with Peter? Why didn't they just burn the boat? They didn't really need it. They could walk with Jesus arm in arm all the way back to the shore. And if they'd done that, can you imagine the discussion that they would be having as they walked back to shore arm in arm with Jesus? Can you picture that scene? Can you picture the scene with your family? Can you picture the scene with this church? If we'll set goals and challenges just a little bit beyond us and then depend upon the Lord to get us there, could it be that we also can walk on the water? Could it be that we can burn our boats, those things we've been depending upon and trusting into, and begin to really trust in our Lord to guide us the rest of the way? I want you to notice what happens if we will allow Jesus to help us through storm. But you go back to the text of Scripture. I want you to notice what will happen if you and I will trust Jesus during our storms, and if we will allow Him to work in our lives and in our families and in our churches. I want you to notice what will result. Look back in verse number 30, and let's watch the rest of the story. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Verse 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him. You know what happens when we allow Jesus to walk us through the storms? It leads us to worship. Let me give you a question. What happened right after 9/11 in church buildings all over the nation? Somebody tell me. They got full, didn't they? Because 9/11 reminded us that all that really mattered was our relationship with God and a relationship with family. And they went back to those assemblies. When we allow Jesus to bring us through the storms, when we get out of our boats and trust Him and watch Him work in our life, it leads us to worship. What's going to happen after this pandemic ends? Will there be a spiritual revival in our country? Does anybody think we need that to happen? Let me re-ask that you weren't ready for that. Did anybody really think that's exactly what needs to happen? is a spiritual revival. When you and I allow God to work in our lives and we walk on the water and He brings us in the storm, it leads us to worship. But notice what worship then leads us to do. Go back to the text of Scripture. 33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto Him all that were diseased, and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of the garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know what worship leads you to do? Worship leads you back out to the community, and you start serving all over again. Susan and I have been a part of this church family about a year. I've been so impressed over this year at the ways we've served our community. The ways that we have come together as a church family, we've done all kinds of things to serve our community. That happens when we allow Jesus to bring us through storms, which leads us to worship, which leads us then to go back out to our communities and serve and serve and serve. When storms hit, stay together. Church, are you listening? When the storm hits, stay together. Stay connected. Do whatever you take to stay connected with the brothers and sisters in Christ here. And burn your boats. Burn those things that gets in the way that you're depending upon instead of Jesus. And all other things, we need to get them out of the way. And hang on to Jesus in our life. It was the year 1519. Cortez with 600 men went to the new land. Went to Mexico to conquer the Aztec Empire. When they landed in Mexico, Cortez ordered his men to burn all the boats. When they burned all the boats, that was his message saying, we're not going back. We're not going back. We're here, and we've committed ourselves to this task, and we're not going back. Maybe it's time that you and I burn some of our boats. Maybe it's time we make a decision and a choice in our life. We're not going back. Maybe it's time to burn some of your boats that you've been depending upon during your storms. Maybe it's time that we burn those boats that get in the way. What are some of the boats that you need to burn? This afternoon, after your nap, I want you to take a look at yourself. I want you to reread this story. I want you to see that Jesus wants you and your family, Jesus wants us as a church, to walk on the water. And He wants to get out of one of those things that interfere, that we're trusting in sometimes instead of Jesus. This afternoon after your nap, think about the boats you've been depending upon during some of the storms in your life. There's no turning back when we made a commitment to Jesus. In fact, you know what? That's what baptism is. Baptism says, I'm all in. Baptism means I've stepped over the line. I'm not going back. Baptism is when you quit kicking the tire and you go by the car. Baptism is when you quit driving by houses with a for sale sign and you call the realtor. Baptism says, I'm all in. For some in this room, for some maybe listening and watching today, maybe that's where you are. And you've been depending upon self, and maybe it's now time to burn your boat, come to Jesus Christ, become a disciple, and be baptized into Christ, and enjoy that walk with Him, out of the boat, walking with Jesus during the storm. Some of us may have some storms going on we need to pray about before we leave. Our shepherds are here to lead us in those prayers. If there's things we can pray about before we leave, I know there's a number that's been given that you can text a message to. If there are prayers that our shepherds can pray, they'd love to know that. Can we help in any way? That's what this song and this time is all about. Burn your boats. Are you ready to walk with Jesus? Appreciate your enthusiasm. Are you ready to walk with Jesus? Get out of the boat. Let's go walk with Him during the storm. And we just might grow in our walk with Him. Let's stand together and sing. Pray, please.